This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 438, recorded Wednesday, April 24th, 2019, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast. I have hunkered down in the bunker.
Hunkering.
Yes.
Hunkering in the bunker.
Yes.
Hunker, bunker.
Yes, this is where old recording equipment goes to retire.
And then here you are using it, making it work in its retirement.
Yeah, for example, the original microphone amplifier that on the show actually is here.
Ooh.
Along with the mixer that I used on our one live episode, one that I somehow got through airport security. That still shocks me.
Why?
That I walked through security holding a mixer and nobody searched me. Well, this was a few years ago. Nowadays, they search me for a protein bar, so I don't...
All right.
But I haven't been back to the Southeast Linux Fest since. You know, you ruined it for me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so I am here celebrating the holiday and we'll say vacationing for a few days.
Yay!
Yeah, so I've been down here working on some local automation projects. So since this is not my home, but it is somebody else's home, I've been upgrading the weather station I built here. And it's cool. Running into a new Raspberry Pi, which is communicating with a second Raspberry Pi running Home Assistant. So I have two Pis doing monitoring of this particular location and sending it back to the home base.
Wow.
Why wow?
Just wow.
Yeah, so...
I mean, cool, but wow.
Not only that, since I happen to have an extra antenna, the Weather Pi is now doing tracking of aircraft. So there aren't really a large number of aircraft. Nearest airport is not a commercial airport, an hour away. But flying right over here right now at a distance of about 10 miles, I have a, let's see, a Sky Regional. So that would be a Air Canada regional flight. I have flights heading places that happen to be New York City, which is not far from here. And so a plane passing overhead heading to two planes heading to Toronto. One plane heading to Minneapolis, so I'm right under a flight path. I'm getting planes from 40 miles away, and that's using an antenna about the size of my hand. Not bad. I don't get that kind of range in the city with a much larger antenna because there's so much background interference. And apparently I'm the only...
One day you're going to have to explain how that works.
What?
The airplane monitor thingy-whopper.
Okay, planes put out, broadcast their location, and various other details. You can get yourself an inexpensive antenna and monitor that. And FlightAware, as well as Flight Radar 24, which are both flight tracking sites, will actually give you a pro account on their service if you contribute data back to them. So I'm sending data about what planes I'm monitoring and where the location is back to services that offer that as a commercial service.
Hmm.
I'm also using it myself just for my enjoyment. It's fun to watch.
Because we have little planes that fly overhead, but we don't have big planes that fly overhead.
Well, that you would. Jacksonville has an airport.
Yes, it does. But it's like, I mean, you know, over my house.
Yeah, you might not be on the flight path for it, but if you're within 40 miles of the airport, you'd be able to pick something up with a relatively small.
But would I be able to pick up the little planes that fly over my house and see where they go?
A little harder, but do it. It depends on how much you're willing to go. Commercial aircraft are much easier to pick up. Some private aircraft have that, but you know, you'd have to add some additional monitoring equipment to get everything. So I'm only looking at aircrafts that actually broadcast on a specific frequency.
Because I don't really care about commercial traffic.
I get a kick out of it.
I would like to know, these planes that fly over my house, where are they going? Because the nearest, you know, airport is a decent clip away.
Yeah, but remember, they might be passing over on their way somewhere else. You don't know if you're on the flight path for, let's say, a routing to another city. They're not actually heading towards Jacksonville. They're just passing over, let's say, from Miami somewhere.
At 1,000 feet?
Well, 1,000 feet, that would be odd. But to be honest...
Yeah, I mean, they're like low enough that the noise is, you know, a distraction.
Well, I have that, but I'm near an airport.
I'm just talking about Cessnas.
Yeah, I wonder why Cessnas are over your house.
Exactly.
By the way, I am picking up United Airlines Flight 1871 bound for Los Angeles. It is approximately here, not reported. I don't have a look. But either way, fun to watch. Again, hobbies. So I've done a few things here, but I've gotten a bunch of things to get done, a little relaxing, done a little religious stuff, a little more of that happening tomorrow, and then I'm back to work for a few days, and then I have to, so it's going to be a busy time, but it will not affect the recording of the show, because I leave for that conference on Thursday, and I get back on Monday, and there's no show in between. Although, there is a
true story.
There is a theoretical possibility that I will be so jet-lagged that by Wednesday at 10 o'clock, I will just conk out. But, so, it was not really a gigantic news week that I saw. I kept looking for new stories because I'm up to date on my reading, but I only found a few interesting stories, and not all of it related to some of them.
But they are all interesting, yeah. Except for one.
I'm curious. But let's go through some of the things that I found this week, and you can tell me which one you did not find interesting.
Okay.
So the Play Store has added a budgeting tool, so you can see how much money you spent in the Play Store, but it doesn't actually alert you or stop you.
I think that's just a... Right now what they have is an MVP, a minimum viable product, and the ability to restrict or get warnings will come in the future.
Yeah. I didn't say that they might not come in the future. I just... said that they've put in a budgeting and it doesn't actually stop you or alert you when you've reached your budget, which would be what I would want out of a budgeting tool. For example, I have that with my credit card. I have it set to alert me if the account goes over a certain threshold. Even though I do occasionally over that threshold for legitimate reasons, I want to make sure that if I exceed my normal budgeting, that I know about it.
Sure. And in this case, you have to actually look.
Yeah. But we'll see. It's interesting that they put something in. They should put in all the features. To go back to your argument, they are waiting to put in more features.
Or they're just getting out what they can as quick as they can.
Well, I.O. is coming up, isn't it? Isn't it, a week and a half?
Something like that.
Time flies. When is I.O.? I'm going to make some while I look that up. Google I.O. will begin on May 7th, so the day after I get back from my conference. So if I'm awake, I'll know all about it. We'll see. I hate jet lag. But Google has revealed the Android ballot screens for Europe. This is where you can choose your providers because... You're required to allow that in Europe. So not only will it show Google search, it will show all of the competitors that you can install as an alternative and let you
choose. I do not understand why Fair Search is not happy. Because the easiest answer is just to say, leave it as is, and thus... Yeah.
So the problem being that what it says in their example is that Google search is installed to install the other ones. And it says you can choose additional search services for your device or additional web browser device, as opposed to saying you choose an alternate.
Oh, jeez. Whatever.
So, to quote them, the Google choice screen for Android does nothing to correct the central problem that Google apps will remain the default. So, by bundling their apps, despite the fact that they're going to present a screen saying you can install other things, they think that that's not enough. And I sort of disagree with that. I think the screen shouldn't just be in Europe. I think they should tell you there are other options. But they have every right to pre-install their applications, as long as I can uninstall them. If the people in Europe really wanted to make a point, they would make it so that some of those apps could be... removed. Not there's no problem with but if I don't want them, then I should be able.
I believe that this feature is targeted towards, let's say, your less technologically inclined people.
Yeah, and they're worried that those people will just choose the default,
and of course they will. Do you think your average person gives a flying hoop whether they're using Firefox or Chrome, or whether they can even tell the difference? This is yet one more decision that people need to make that they are ill-equipped to make. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I fully understand. And I'm not happy about it either because I think they're not being effective. They've told Google you have to put in a screen. Google said, okay, we've put in a screen. And now they're saying, oh, okay, we don't think people are going to use it unless you don't make it obvious that you've bundled your apps and they have every right to bundle apps.
Do you ever go and you pay for stuff at a store with a credit card and you have to select like 14 different things in order to pay with a card, you know, what's your reward number? Do you want credit or debit? Do you want any money back? Is plastic okay? Email or paper receipt? Just
don't forget, take my money, give me my stuff. Is the length of your arm because they put all sorts of other stuff on.
Right. So, and we are overwhelming people with choice. We're overwhelming people that don't want choice with choice.
Yeah. But choice should be there.
Yes, and it is. If you don't want to use Chrome, if you want to use Firefox, installing Firefox is a piece of cake. And setting it up so that Firefox is your default browser on your Android phone is a piece of cake if you want to do that. If you don't want to do that, then this is just providing another piece of stress and concern on people who couldn't care less. And so, it's annoying because this is not a free market decision to add this page in. This is a governmental agency deciding, oh, we need to help the disadvantaged, you know, the smaller guys. We got to help them. That's what this is. And I disagree with that on a philosophical and a principled basis.
Yeah, but you know that the philosophy in Europe is completely different philosophy.
Yeah.
And sometimes that shocks me exactly how different it is, and sometimes I'm not really surprised about it.
I know it's not Europe, but it boggles my mind that in England, you can get arrested for offending somebody.
Why? Did that happen to you?
Not to me, but it...
Have you ever it happened to somebody?
I offend people all the time. There is no right or privilege to not be offended. US.
I meant in the UK. Have you ever...
Probably, not that I'm aware of. I've only been there like once.
It seemed nice when I was there. I should go back and see if I can offend people.
Do you want to go to jail?
No, but one person looked a little offended when I criticized the food.
You know, when I was in Hong Kong, I got chased out of a restaurant for asking for ketchup. The chef was offended that I had asked for ketchup, and I didn't like the food how it was. But nobody offered to arrest me.
I don't know. The only thing The only thing I ate in Hong Kong was a tuna sandwich I bought at a 7-Eleven. By the way, that cost entirely too much money.
In Hong Kong?
Yeah, as I recall, it cost like $18.
Wow.
Really, that was Hong Kong dollars.
Well, you were probably paying extras so that the tuna didn't come out of Victoria Bay.
I'm not sure, but airport food is usually more expensive. I was stuck sitting at the airport in Hong Kong for like 6 hours. That was on my way back last year.
Oh, so you weren't out in town?
No, I was just at the airport. To be honest, if not for the fact I'd just spent 4 weeks somewhere and really wanted to go home, I probably would have tried to make a stop and see somewhere.
Man, Hong Kong's cool. Yeah. I like Hong Kong.
Yeah, I don't know the next time I'm going to go to Asia, because my only experience really hanging out in Asia involved me not going anywhere and working there for 4 weeks.
Oh.
Or previously three.
The last time I was there was probably 15, 20 years ago, but it was...
No,
I've been there a dozen times, and it's...
Yeah, I would like to actually go there for pleasure someday. You never know. I could surprise myself, but I am told I am not going to that part of the world this year. So that means more time with...
Cool.
May go somewhere, but not there. Well, let's see. Moving along, there's a proposal for a context-aware desktop key to be added to USB HID standard. So that's not exactly... The way that I phrase it is not exactly the story that I'm citing stated it.
Right. They said it's Google's fault, but this is a generic assistant key. You know,
well, it's like, not Google's fault. They said that Google has proposed this because they want an assistant key on the keyboard. So they've proposed one, but they haven't proposed it be a Google key. They've proposed that it be an assistant key that could link to any assistant.
Sure. And this is just like a media forward or, a media next key or a mute key or a calculator key. It's just an assistant key.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
And you notice that's why I phrased it that way. 9to5 Google had their own spin on it. I phrased it as they want to put in a context-aware desktop key, which would be for the assistant. So when you press this button, it would know your intention was to launch whatever assistant you happen to have. So I'm in favor of that, because it wouldn't be tied to Google. It would be that keyboards would start putting in assistant. Can't complain about that if I want to be able to launch my assistant on my desktop.
Yep.
Yeah. Moving along, since I'm still trying to guess which of these stories you think doesn't belong, the Game Boy has turned 30. So these are stories that are tangentially related. You know, fill out things when a full slate of Android news. So what do you think? Did you use the Game Boy when it was new?
No, but I bought one for my daughter when she was young. An actual Game Boy.
The original green one?
No, the screen was green, but not the box.
Like the green screen, not the color Game Boy. Which
yes.
I had one of them. Yep. Oh, I still have it in a box somewhere. I recently constructed the Odroid Go, which has that form factor. Let's see, I can track down my ROMs. Anyway, that does remind me. I did construct it also this week, a two-player bar top arcade. That was my project.
Cool. Was that fun?
It's running off of a Pi. It does run some games. Unfortunately, I missed that the amplifier that I ordered did not include a power cord to power the amplifier, so I had to order a power cord, and since I'm in the woods, it won't be here till... So there's that. And also, I haven't picked out what marquee to put on it. You know how old game systems had like a marquee with the name of the game?
Yes.
I have not picked that out, so the marquee is still exposed, and I also have to tie down some of the equipment. But it looks nice. I'm also having some trouble mapping the keys around the joystick to the old emulator systems.
Okay, cool. I mean, not cool that you're having trouble, but cool.
Yeah, so now I have to... Can you think of any classic two-player arcade games? Two simultaneous player arcade.
Pong?
I don't have Pong. No, I was trying to track down a few of the classic ones, because now that I have two joysticks that can be played at the same time, I need to pick some games that fit that description.
Your Kung Fu, probably.
Well, I did remember Double Dragon, which I used to play.
Street Fighter.
Mortal Kombat. But I'm not sure if that's appropriate.
Any of the, you know, martial, you know, the fighting games.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you get outside that genre, I think Street Fighter is cooperative.
Yeah, well, if anybody thinks of anything that's worth playing, you know, I used to play a lot of single-player games and then trade off. Now that there are two joysticks, I'm going to play something. Let's see. YouTube is coming to Fire TV and Prime Video is coming to Chromecast. So apparently Google and Amazon have kissed and made up.
Which is cool.
Yeah, well. Us talking about Prime Video for a while there on Android was a running theme around here.
Yep.
And you can now download the source code for all Infocom games.
Have you looked at this stuff?
I played those games years ago. Are you asking if I looked
at the source code? I mean, looked at the source code.
No, I thought about it, but I have not gotten the chance.
It's totally interesting. I mean, like, really. It's apparently there's, you know, Zork had its own language designed.
Yeah, no, that I knew.
It's cool stuff.
I wonder if there's anything that let me play these. I believe there is. So, oh yes, YouTube Music and Amazon Music are free on smart speaker limited ads. So they've decided to offer a free tier.
Cool. So I hope that this will not turn YouTube Music and Amazon Music into the tyrannical default music players or music sources for these speakers.
Well, we'll see. Already, I've mentioned the sort of Amazon Music problems I've been having me to sort of distance myself having the Echo around in Google Home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find it can work as a media streamer device. I can send it whatever I want. But I don't know. I think it's nice that there is a free tier, even if it's ad-supported. It's always amazing how all these companies try to be innovative, and then all they end up doing is recreating a past business model, like terrestrial radio. Which I'd imagine you'd have an opinion on. You may or may not to express.
Nah, it's cool. You know, providing advertising is one of the few places on the internet where, you know, there's money to be made.
Yeah.
Everything else is pretty much free except for audience. You know, eyes cost money, ears cost money. So if you want to make money on the internet, advertising pretty much is how it's going to work, unless you're offering a very unique product that, you know, people are willing to pay for and is not available elsewhere for free. And that's a very limited subset of stuff.
Free is good. Paying for
I like paying for things.
Well, I take
paying for things free. Motivates people to work. You know, it's how the capital economy works.
Well, it depends what it is. I am willing to pay for things. I just am discriminating. There are some things I don't think, at least for what they're charging.
Of course.
So I vote with my wallet.
As you should. As we should all be allowed to do.
And since I've been upgrading my wireless charging mechanism, since I now have a phone again that has wireless chargers, I've been getting rid of the old low amperage one, replacing them that have been sitting around since the last time I had that type of phone.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I would cite this article that was filed last week, which was, is it safe to leave my smartphone on its wireless charger? Because
okay, two things. Two things. One, as a general rule, if the headline is a question, the answer is almost always no. It's just the way headlines work. However, this article doesn't give you an answer. All it says is a lot of, well, we don't know, and spouts a lot of wives' tales.
Yeah, that's why I sort of am saying I still don't have an answer.
Right. So this is the article I didn't find interesting. One, because they're doing that headline is a question thing, which is deceptive.
I found it interesting only that it raised a question that's wondering, should I be leaving it on there? Especially since the original Google Pixel that died was on a wireless charger at the time. But I don't think that had anything to do.
So now you know which article I did not care for.
Okay.
And I had two reasons. Yeah. One, they used a question as a headline, which is a deceptive practice. And two, they didn't even answer the question. They just spouted a lot of nonsense. You know, this is the best we know. We think. I don't know.
I would like a more definitive answer, which is why I brought it up.
Absolutely.
I'd like to hear from somebody who has an opinion.
Oh, there's plenty of opinions in that that article, just not a whole lot of knowledge.
An authoritative opinion, when I feel comfortable with.
That'd be cool.
Anyway, Sirius now has an $8 a month streaming-only plan.
Isn't that awesome?
Well, I like Sirius. I just wasn't willing. to deal with them to have it in my car.
Right, but they have really nice stations, right?
Well, some of them. The thing I like about Sirius as opposed to anything else is ease of use.
Yeah, they've got like 9 gazillion channels, one for, you know, for every mood and genre. You pick one that is the mood or what you want to listen to, and it just plays.
Well, the other part of it is that for me, streaming is an alt, but I'm decided since they're offering 90 days for a buck, give it a shot for 3 months and see, is there an advantage? Because I could have it on a smart speaker. One of the problems that I have, you know from me talking about that I have a large collection of music that I purchase because I do been buying music subscribing.
Right, because you want to support the creation of that. You want to encourage the continued creation of music that you like.
Well, there's also
so, of course, you send money at it.
Yeah, there's also another part of it. Remember, okay. I'm not necessarily a fan of most popular. So some
esoteric?
Well, I'm going to go with older.
Eclectic?
Well, I was going to go with older in terms of recording.
Eccentric.
So I do like oldies.
Odd.
Not always.
Weird. Unusual. Yeah.
But some of the artists that I follow are not putting out new music because they're dead. So
that's a lame excuse.
Well, when you look at what's on a streaming service, latest titles, but I'm looking to discover new stuff, and there are plenty of musicians in the genres that I like that I haven't discovered. A classic radio station that plays oldies or Sirius on the older stations, generational, can actually introduce me to songs that I might have heard, and then I buy them and add them to my collection. So the dollar I'm going to spend for 3 months may actually end up costing me a lot in music purchases.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I can live with that. The only other sad thing is Google Pixel, I cannot put in a card to store all my music. I suppose I could have paid another $100 to get some more memory on the thing, but I decided it was probably easier to just rotate my music, because I can't possibly listen to 7,000 tracks simultaneously. Also, that new router that I bought has the card, so I'm going to take the one out of OX that has the 7,000 tracks in it there, and so I have options. Helvetica is getting its first redesign in 36 years.
I think that's misleading.
Well, it is to some degree. But
because Helvetica is remaining as Helvetica was. There's just a new font called Helvetica now.
Yeah. What interests me is Helvetica has its own documentary.
Right.
Helvetica is an institution. So the fact that they're putting out a new version of Helvetica, so it is a redesign. It's just you can get the original version and the new. So they're offering this new font face here.
What I found was that it was very difficult to find a comparison between the two. I found a comparison of a few of the characters, and it is a significant redesign. I mean, it's an entirely different font, really.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that Helvetica itself will go.
No, I don't think it will.
Well, it's one of my favorite fonts. It's all over the New York City subway system.
Is it now?
Yes.
Cool.
Again, you have to appreciate a classic. And finally, just an interesting combination story. Nintendo issued a DMCA takedown for a Super Mario Brothers port for the Commodore 64. Even better, the developer who wrote this port of it apparently spent 7 years.
Wow.
I just find this an interesting hobby. Writing a port of a late 1980s game for an early 1980s computer system.
Yeah.
I just have to ask why. I'm not going to say that I don't think that this is something that somebody shouldn't enjoy doing. I'm just saying I don't know why you'd spend 7 years on that if you love it.
And why would they care? The DC, why would they, the takedown notice for it? Just,
Well,
how
it is
crushing there. Must that have been for the coder?
You'd think that they would have found, some sort of accommodation on this.
Yeah, one would think, but they are,
intellectual property. But I'm just surprised.
I know if you don't protect the trademark, then you lose it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that somebody would spend 7 years writing a port of a game that is readily available, by the way, in other systems.
Yeah, you can get it. It's available in JavaScript for your browser.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm just sort of. I would love to see. If I could find one, an interview with the person who did this, the actual coder, talking about why they did this and what it was like to do.
Yes.
That would be interesting.
It would be.
So I think things are starting to slow down. There were some leaks about the new Pixel 3a that came out. But again, we're not really a leaking type.
Also, yeah, we don't know the credibility of that. And they rarely show any or tell anything that is substantive. Yeah. What's the word? They rarely do any of that stuff. It's just, oh, here's a possible render, or we think it'll be square or rectangular. Okie dokie.
But my imagining is that next week won't be of a lot of things unless something odd breaks, and probably a lot of news will come out of I.O. the week after that. So it'll probably be slow for. But there's always more going on, and there are always more projects.
Yes.
About a sum of mine, and more coming. I'm always jumping back and forth to thing, because a lot that I want to accomplish.
Cool.
So I will be back next week, weary, because you know how when you go away from, if they're nice enough, work piled up on your desk?
Nope.
Oh, you have nicer coworkers than I do.
No, I just don't ever leave.
That works too. For me, there are other people there, but I just end up with a pile of stuff when I get back.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I didn't bother putting up an autoresponder, so they don't. Some people do not there. I think it was yesterday. Could you have a conference call with us on Friday? No. Anyway, so we'll be back next week. Just to remind everybody, you can email us. We still respond at podcast@androidbuffet.com. We have a comment form site. We're available still at our voicemail. No one's called in years. 2012 Wenneca, Wenneca. And, of course, Jerry is available wherever Greater Jerry's can be found.
Yep. That's exactly where I can be found.
So we look forward to next week when we'll once again talk about Android and things related.
Yes, next week.
Yeah. And again, hopefully the equipment left you with a positive experience, as this is all equipment that has previously been programmed.
Which is good, because hopefully the audio will be good.
It sounds good in the loopback. We'll see. Until next time, Jerry.
Bye, folks.
Goodbye.